Friends, earlier chapter we have seen how the banking came into the existence and how actually it was flourished or developed in the different countries, originated in Italy but flourished in United States. Matlab, banking actually started in Italy, but banking has not grown to that space which was grown in United States. So Italy becomes, though they are a founder, they are lagging behind. And the United States and the UK are the prime location for the banking. This is what we have seen, and how it was from the ancient time till today, how these banks were developed and growth took place in these countries like UK, Europe, as well as Germany, and then other parts of the continent, how it was developed, that we have seen. In this chapter, we will specifically talk about the growth of banking in India, our own country. Okay? To understand that, I have structured the presentation which consists of the aspects like origin of banking in India, how it was started, banking started in India. Thereafter, the pre-independence and post-independence scenario of the banking development, rebirth and the redirection of the banking, the initial years of changes, redirection of the changes, banking and technology is the last topic that we are going to discuss. Now, about the origin of the banking in India. Earlier chapter, we have seen that banking has originated basically in Florence, which is a part of Italy. Okay? And Rome was the banking center during that day. Similar manner, how the banking originated in India. We have to go back to the little bit ancient period. So, the record indicates that the banking in India was existing in Vedic time between 2000 BC and 1400 BC. We have so old history. In early Aryan times, the money lending was considered as one of the four honest pursuits. Okay. Jatakas and Dharmashastras, as well as Kautilya, also mentions that existence of the loan deeds. In Mauryan time, Chandragupta Maurya, in Mauryan period, 321 to 185 BCE, the instrument called Adesha was in use. This was used in directing the banker directing him to pay the sum of the money, that is Adesh, instruction to pay the money which was mentioned on that note to a third person, which corresponds to the definition of modern bill of exchange. Bill of exchange, what we have seen worldwide. But in India, this was already there. In Mauryan time, there was instrument which is called as Adesha. Adesh, yani direction, instruction. Instruction which acts as a direction to pay to the third party the money what is mentioned there. This is followed by the Kautilya's Arthashastra. This is followed by Kautilya's Arthashastra, which asks the kings to regulate the interest rate, make rules for the debtors and the creditors, and the laws have separate section for deposits and pledge. So individuals were asked to deposit their money with respectable bankers. When the British came into the India, Indian banking was already reasonably developed well. Then Indian banking conducted in vernacular language, our own language, vernacular language. And Indian banking and the local bankers were unaware of the practice in Europe. Our own people, they were not aware what is practice in the Europe. So independently the banking was developed in India. So English merchants who have come to India for the business, they were set up a finance, trade and the commerce. Local banking was discontinued because they came for the business, no? And with the British getting the political hold, the country became unsettled. And the individual began to hold their money with themselves and opposed to give it them to the indigenous agencies. The first the first bank that was opened in India was the Bank of Hindustan in 1771 in Calcutta. Because British came into India and they first stable in Calcutta by establishing the East India Company. Right? So, they have a trade base. They were having the trade base at Calcutta. So, they established the first bank, that is Bank of Hindustan in 1771 in Calcutta by the agency house called Alexander and Company. Alexander and Company. This marked the beginning of the modern banking in India. Another bank which came into the existence was the Bengal Bank in 1784. Bengal Bank. In 1786, General Bank of India was established. This was the first joint stock bank in India. In 1787, it was appointed as the bankers to the government. This bank did not survive and was closed down 1791. Only 14 years it survived. Now banking in pre-independence era. During pre-independence means during the British, the period for the British where ruled the country. During that period, what was happened? As far as the banking is concerned, during the pre-independence period, over about 600 banks had been established and the only few were survived. Those survived were General Bank of India, which was established in 1786 and closed in 1791. Aud Bank, Aud Commercial Bank, which was started in 1881 and closed in 1958. Bank of Bengal, Bank of Bombay and Bank of Madras. These are the three banks established in 1809, 1840 and 1843 respectively. During this British rule, the East India Company, had established three banks. They have established three banks. One is Bank of Bengal in 1908-9, Bank of Bombay in 1840, and Bank of Madras in 1843, and called them as a presidential bank. They called these three banks as a presidential bank. These three banks were merged in 1921. And a new bank came into existence called Imperial Bank of India. Bank of Bengal, Bank of Bombay and Bank of Madras. Three banks merged in 1921 and Imperial Bank of India came into the existence. This Imperial Bank of India was subsequently nationalized in 1955, and it was renamed the State Bank of India, which currently is the largest public sector bank, State Bank of India. Then uniform currency was established throughout the British India in 1835. Banking in India remained the domain of the Europeans till the beginning of the 20th century. There were six banks which were established in the pre-independence India. These are Allahabad Bank, Punjab National Bank, Bank of India, Central Bank of India, Canara Bank, and then Bank of Baroda. The respective years are mentioned here. The banks were not easily accessible to the common man or lower middle class. Up to 1913, because the years after up to 1930 were difficult due to the competition among the Indian banks, resulting very high rate of being offered to the deposit and the massive speculations. Several banks collapsed during this period, 1930, and the laws at that time were inadequate. Why the banks were failed? Because law was inadequate to check the misdeeds of those running banks. There was no central bank in the country that regulates the manner of banking should be done. During the banking crisis in 1930 and between 1914 and 1918, the weaker banks needed help to survive, and no banking institution came forward to save the another from the collapse. So the government too looked at this collapse banks, because there was no central bank to regulate the banking. Now, impact of this fall and impact of the First World War has seriously impacted on the banking industry in India. This war strengthened the India's economy. During this First World War, there was an increase in the demand for indigenous raw material and food supplies, and the spurt in Indian export, increase in Indian export, resulted into highly favorable balance of payment position, because a lot of foreign exchange have been earned during that time. The favorable balance of payment position and the British government have heavy expenditure on the war, which resulted into the steep increase in the demand for the Indian currency, which appreciated against the pound sterling. See the situation, how it was that time, significantly. So the First World War had been good for the Indian economy. Now, setting off of another bank to control it so as to avoid the failures. Setting up of Imperial Bank of India. In January 27, 1921, three presidency banks, that is Bank of Bengal, Bank of Mumbai, Bank of Bombay, and Bank of Madras, they were merged to form the Imperial Bank of India. And that bank was a central bank for which the similar to the Bank of England. This was a safeguard that government balances and implement the financial discipline and policy of the government and the control of the currency, controller of the currency management to the public debt and bankers of the government. In 1923, post-boom collapsed. What was the money was given? Because of the First World War, export was happened, heavy demand, there was a favorable balance of payment position. And thereafter, in 1923, post-war, this boom was there, which was collapsed. And the Imperial Bank was unable to provide the required degree of support, which is required. Therefore, in 1920 to 1923, there were 35 bank failure observed by the country. 35 banks failure. The effect of this bank failure has a depression, which began in United States in 1929, and that was failed in India too. So, no area of banking operation showed any noticeable growth between 1929 to 1933. Now, there was serious drawback in the Indian monetary banking system, as there was no controller of the currency, and the credits were of the two different hands, Government of India and the Imperial Bank of India. As per the Hilton Young, this was a commission. As per the Hilton Young Commission, it is recommended that either set up a new central bank or convert existing Imperial Bank of India as a central bank of the country. Banking crisis in early 30s were needed to have a new approach to the banking control, which led to the Reserve Bank of India Act being passed in March 6, 1934 and established the Reserve Bank of India in 1935. Here, the establishment of the Reserve Bank of India in 1934-35. The Reserve Bank of India will become the government's bank as well as the banker's bank. Central Banking Committee distinguished the banks from other institution and asked the regulation for the banking sector. Some provisions have been made, specially relating to the banks were incorporated in the new company law passed in 1936 and known as the Indian Banking Companies Act 1936. A banking company had to have the working capital of at least 50,000 rupees obtained by the allotment of the shares, and banks had to maintain the reserve fund equal to its paid up capital. Banking company was not permitted to form or hold shares in any subsidiary company unless that subsidiary company is carried on business incidental to the main company itself. So, the banks were restrict their activities to specified and the memorandum of association. This was specified in memorandum of association. So, banking companies could affect the temporary suspension of the payment which recommendation of the registrar. By that time, the Second World War was there, and the impact of it was the goods become scarce and prices were escalated. Due to deficit financing to facilitate the purchase of war material, there were a sharp increase in the number of currency notes in circulation. Impact of it was the efforts of the government to procure much money at low rate of interest, large amount of cash was injected into the economy. This led to the establishment of many new banks and reduced the volume of the public borrowing from the banks. The war disrupted imports and created an accelerated demand for the industrial goods, which had to be made by the Indian manufacturers. The expanded credit needs of the economy for the new opportunities to lend profit the Indian producers resulted into increasing the deposit with the banks. Second World War was ended in 1945. Now, after 1945, India's foreign exchange reserve was swelled by accumulation of a sterling balance. In 1939, there were only 750 cents with 1,178 branches of India, which had some banking activities. By 1946, scheduled banks increased their branches to 2,917. Now, these banks fed on the rise of the deposit because there is an increase in the saving of the individuals and the rate of saving rose from 8% to 8 to 9% to 18%. Now, after that, after 1946, there was era called banking post-independence era. India gained independence, resulting into separation of India and Pakistan. So communal tension and the disturbances, destruction, production, industrial and agriculture put the banking sector under serious pressure. In 1946, Reserve Bank liquidated those banks which were beyond the recovery and provide the various kinds of the protection to those which could be saved. It also became very obligatory for every bank to obtain a permission from Reserve Bank of India to open its branches also. So, India's independent market, marked as the beginning of socialist regime of planned economic growth. Industrial policy resolution was passed in 1948, and the mixed economy and the Congress manifesto discussed the creation of cooperative commonwealth. Therefore, from 1947 onward, there was a greater state of involvement of the banking. Government had socialist focus, so they desire to better the lives to have and the knots. Partition has a massive problem of rehabilitation, which was created bias in favor of growing economic movement by the states. In banking operations in Punjab and the West Bengal, they were paralyzed for many months. And in 1948, the Reserve Bank of India was nationalized, making it by law the government institution. So, independent India was intent on regulating the banking. In 1949, the Banking Companies Act was passed in the Parliament. And this act empowered the Reserve Bank of India to regulate, control, and respect the banks and inspect the banks. In India, new provision has been stipulated that no new banks or branches of existing banks to be opened without license from the Reserve Bank of India. Bank could not have the common directors. Government also felt that for specialized institution to cater a long-term financing, and set up three important lending institutions: Industrial Finance Corporation of India, okay, then National Small Industries Corporation of India, and Industrial Credit and Investment Corporation of India. These three institutions have been specifically established for, as a specialization for long-term financing in their respective areas. Then the government embarked on the plan development through 5 years plan, and the first plan began in 1951. 1958, commercial banks were introduced, a system of uniform rate of interest on the deposit and advances. Reserve Bank, under the Reserve Bank of India Amendment 1956, varied the cash reserve, and also the scheduled banks had to maintain with it. The Companies Amendment Act 1960, which came into the existence on December 28, 1960, made the audit of all the branches of the bank compulsory. In January 1, 1962, DICGC, that is Deposit Insurance Corporation, was created to safeguard the depositor in the event of the bank becoming insolvent. Then the Banking Law Amendment 1967 required the bank to reconstitute its board to ensure that not less than 51% of directors have special knowledge of banking and expertise in accountancy, agriculture, economics, and small scale industries, that is SSI. So Banking Regulation Act in 1949 was amended by the banking laws, which came into the existence with effect from 1969. Section 20 of this act prohibits loan to the directors. Now, rebirth to redirection. Rebirth to redirection. What was this rebirth and bank nationalization? Bank nationalization. On July 19, 1969, midnight, the government issued an ordinance that 14 major commercial banks have been nationalized. In 1980, the government nationalized 6 more banks, raising the number of public sector banks to 20, and thus bringing 91% of the total banking business of the country under the government control. Major intent of the nationalization was to take banking to the remotest village of the country and to unbanked centers to benefit the common man, that is a socialist banking, and to finance those sectors which are identified as a priority, such as agriculture, export, SSI. Profit was no longer the aim to measure for the success. In 1972-73, the government had introduced the concept of employee director being included in the board. That is why it was reconstituted to give the representation to the interest of the depositor, farmers, artisans, and others. This was the beginning of participation of the management into the banking industry. Designation custodian was changed to chairman. Custodian, earlier we used to call as custodian. Now it has been changed to chairman and managing director. Initial years of the change. After making these changes, how it was felt in the general public as far as the initial year of change is concerned. The focus was to help the common man and help the priority sector. The common man could now get the loan for worthwhile projects such as means, status, reputation of the borrower ceased to be the basis of the sanction. Branch expansion becomes the key objective, and the thrust was more on the rural branches as opposed to urban ones. Satellite operations were introduced in 1972 to help the people living in the countryside, whereby branches located at the district headquarters or semi-centers were charged with the responsibility of mobilizing the client from those in surrounding areas. Officers were deputed for training in agriculture, finance, small-scale industries, finance, operations of the self-employed people and export promotion. And the mindset of the staff had to be reoriented from earlier primary motive of the profitability to fulfillment of the need of the small borrower. Another focus was export. The precariously low level of the foreign exchange and the continued current account deficit, despite the devaluation of the Indian rupee in 1966, export promotion made a national priority. And the emphasis was given on providing the exporters all kind of help, including the technical assistance at pre- and post-shipment stages.